Join me, Psalm 103. I just loved how y'all been reading this text with me, because we're kicking the devil's brains in every time we do it, because you're telling the devil, this is what God says about me. So I want us to read it out loud, okay? Everybody get it up there on the screen. Let's read it together. Here we go. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Can we praise him for his benefits? Come on, raise a hallelujah for his benefits. Amen. Oh, you're going to get blessed today. High five your neighbor and say, you need to let Jesus in your life. The benefits are great. Come on, tell him amen. You can be seated. So the psalmist in this, for those of you that are new, you're just jumping onto this, I really want to encourage you to get the app and go listen to those teachings, because they'll really minister to you. But what happens is people start getting their problems and their crisis. They start thinking that God doesn't care, and you start forgetting the blessings. Well, David has to remind himself of the blessings of God. But he precedes all of this with praising. The reality is this. If you as a believer have stopped rejoicing, then you will begin to forget and neglect your rewards. You'll forget them, and you'll neglect them. You've got to learn to bless him before you understand the benefits that come from him. When you start blessing him, the benefits become more alive and active in your life. Before you can have the perks of God, you must know how to praise God. And David's saying, I can't forget. I'm going to praise him again because I'm forgetting these benefits. So this whole series, what David and I are trying to do, King David and I are trying to remind you, because sometimes your memory can get bad. How many of you have ever noticed that? It's kind of like these two old dudes kind of losing their memory a little bit, sitting in the living room, and their wives are in the kitchen cooking. One of the old guys looks at the guy and says, man, you should have gone. You need to go where we ate last night. I mean, it's the best. Man, it was an amazing restaurant. The guy says, well, what's the name of it? He goes, oh, man, you'd ask that. Oh, man. He goes, something with a... it's a flower. The guy says, flower? Yeah. Long stem, red petals. So the guy says, you mean rose? Yeah. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we ate at last night? How many know some of us can lose our memories a little bit? Amen. Let's get more. Some of us are forgetting. And because you're forgetting, some of you will get that about midnight tonight. But listen, some of you are forgetting the blessing of God. And today I'm going to deal with the last one, satisfied. I was doing a research on this, and just in 2005, you think people are satisfied. We got more money, more cars, more trinkets, more toys, more entertainment. We got more than we've ever had before. But in 2005 alone, the search for how to be happy went up 180%. This is telling me that we have more stuff than any nation on the planet, and we're the most unsatisfied people on the planet Earth. Isn't that crazy? And David is saying, you know what? My God is so good that he satisfies you and renews you like an eagle. We're gonna land on that for a second. When he says this, he says he's trying to tell us something. What he's trying to tell us is God just doesn't satisfy the momentary need. What he's a God is he's a God that overflows you with the blessing. Doesn't just give you the blessing, he ODs you on blessing. You OD on it. Look what he says. He's abundant satisfaction is what he gives us. Psalm 103, verse 5 says, who satisfies your desires. Everybody say desires. There's another translation that says satisfies your mouth. It's your mouth. He satisfies your mouth. But when you read in the Hebrew, it's kind of different because it means an ornament, like a piece of jewelry that they would use on a horse on the bit for a parade, a piece of jewelry. So, girls, he satisfies you with jewelry. I thought the amen would be a little bigger, but I'll move on. Amen. Not looking forward to Christmas, I can understand. Psalm 105, verse 3 says this out of the NASB, because there's different translations of it. It says, who satisfies your years with good things. The point is here. Here's what David's trying to say. He's trying to tell you, no matter how young or how old you get, he's going to satisfy every need of your life as you seek him. And every spiritual desire he will meet, he satisfies. And when I looked at that word satisfy in the Hebrew, do you know what it, this is what's really crazy about this word. It meant to be full, to have plenty of. But there was an additional definition to it besides being full and have plenty of. It meant to be weary of. You're so full, you're weary of what you got. You're so full. How many would like to be so OD'd with the blessing of God, you're just going, too much, too much? Now, you don't understand this about being too full, of weary of good things, but I'll put it in a context that every American can understand. How many have ever been to an all-you-can-eat buffet? Okay. Oh, Golden Corral. You're going over there, and you're in the corral, and you're just grazing in the corral, and you keep piling your plate up. And so you can make you not feel so convicted, you make sure you get a real big salad so you can act like you're really healthy. And then you pile on the ribs and you pile on the, oh, they got meatloaf. And you just keep piling stuff up. And you sit back and you're just, oh, that was just so wonderful. And you make another lap because there's some chocolate pudding and there's some banana pudding. You make another lap and you make another lap. And pretty soon you're sitting back, you're so full, you're not just satisfied. How many of you are sitting there with your belly popping up going, I'm bloated, I'm absolutely bloated. And you've overeaten. He's saying this. He says, when I think about my sin and how he wiped it out, when I think about how he redeemed me from the pit, he became a slave, went into the slave market, became a slave, then bought me out of the slave market, not just to make me a slave, not just to make me a son and a daughter, but then he puts a crown over my head of authority and dominion. He says, I'm telling you, when he did this, he didn't just save me a little bit, he ODs me on salvation. I'm saying this to some of you right now. Some of you are in this room thinking, man, I can't believe I'm in church. If these people knew my sin, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much sin you've done. I don't care what kind of sin you've done. It is a lie from the pit of hell that he cannot forgive you. He has abundant salvation, abundant redemption. He redeems you from the pit. He puts you in a place you never thought before. I don't care what the sin is. You say it, you line it up. He's already paid the price. And that's the reason why when you walk in here and you see all these people lifting their hands, sing a hallelujah. You know why they're shouting? They're shouting because they've been overtaken with forgiveness. They've been overtaken with healing. They've been overtaken with redemption. They've been overtaken with a crown, and they have the goodness of God. If you have it, come on, thank God for his abundant satisfaction. Amen. He gives it to you big time. He wants to bless you big time. Just think of that buffet next time. Secondly, I want you to see this. You need to know what the author of real satisfaction. Who is the author of satisfaction? Because everybody has an author of satisfaction. It's just his. Who's your author? He's the author of satisfaction. Now, I want to line up here just for a moment. I want you to understand that every author has a purpose, an agenda. You need to know what God's purpose is for you. And you need to have a clear understanding what Satan's purpose is for you. Any time that I choose to disobey the word of God, I'm walking in the path of Satan's purpose, and he's trying to author a different outcome for me. So you need to understand very, very clear, when you and I disobey, we are not following the purpose of God. So look what Jesus says. Look at John 10:10. Look at the words. It says, the thief's purpose. How many know who the thief is? Satan. He said, the thief's purpose is to steal from you, to kill you, and to ultimately destroy you. That is the purpose of Satan. That's the outcome of his writing and his story for you. That is his outcome for you whenever you and I choose to turn our back on God. That, if you want to know how the story is going to go, that's the story. That is the story. Whenever you and I disobey, that is the story. I promise you. I know you're 16 and you say, you don't know what you're talking about. I'll talk to you when you're 30, 32, 40, and 50, and you will see that I'm right because the word is never wrong on this. That is his outcome. That is it. But I want you to show you what the author of life, the author of satisfaction says. He says, my purpose, God says, my purpose for you is to give you a rich and what kind of life, everybody? A satisfying life, an overflowing life, an abundant life, so much you're going to get weary sometimes of how blessed you are. Friends, come on, and sometimes we do get a little weary of it that we forget the blessings of God. We come in here, we're so blessed, and then we don't remember because we didn't drive up in the same kind of car somebody else drove up in. We lose our joy because we're not dating somebody, or we don't have a spouse, or we don't have enough money, or we don't like the spouse we got. We're getting so weird. Listen, but you are blessed, folks. If you drove up here in a car, you're blessed. I don't care if it's a bomb and we could use it as a bug spray to kill mosquitoes in the summer. God's blessed you. You've got health. You're sucking in air. You're breathing. You're among God's people. How many of you know he's the author of all of that satisfaction? My point is this. Nothing. And no one will ever satisfy you except the Lord. Even that wonderful person you married will not satisfy you like the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 145, the psalmist said, Psalm 145, 16, he says, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. He's saying, Lord, you're the source of everything. Why do we go to other things to become our satisfaction, friends? I can tell you my journey with the Lord, and I can tell you a lot of people in this room, we have discovered that the things we reach to never, ever satisfied. We thought they did. I mean, there's a lot of people that think money will satisfy you. They put money up so high. People say, yeah, Pastor, money's important, you know. Money's not everything. Some of you go, yeah, money's not everything, but it's up there with oxygen. Money's not everything. Money won't satisfy you. I want you to hear this from a guy who had everything. King Solomon, okay? Here's a guy, King Solomon, the wisest man that walked the planet Earth outside of Jesus Christ. This guy had incredible amounts of wealth. He was the wisest man. He wasn't too wise in some things because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. What are you thinking, man? What are you smoking, buddy? That you want to have 700 wives and 300 concubines. Let me just tell you right now, sir, stick with the woman you're married to. Quit having wandering eyes, because I'm just going to tell you something. You think there's something that's better, the grass is going to be greener on the other side. No, the grass is only greener where you choose to water it. That's the bottom line. Same for you, sister. Quit looking at, if I had a different man, a more righteous man, if I had a more spiritual man, quit. Listen, grass is not green. It's greener where you plant it. It's true. 700 wives, 300 women. Can you believe that? Why would you want another woman, sir? Listen, if you can't handle the one you got, do you think you can handle two if you can't handle one? And this dude takes on 1,000 women. What are you smoking, man? There was something wrong with you. But he's wealthy. 40,000 horses. That's like having 40,000 vehicles. Like 40,000 of the finest vehicles. People to polish them, take care of them. Stables, all kinds of garages, heated, climate controlled. Everything's great for this guy. The guy never had to balance a checkbook. He had unlimited spending. And do you know what this guy says? This guy says this to anybody that's thinking that sex is the ultimate thing, that just having a spouse is an ultimate thing, that just having money is an ultimate thing, just having a career and a degree is an ultimate thing. This is what he says in Ecclesiastes 5:10, this is supposed to be the smartest guy outside of Jesus. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. How meaningless. I know people think if we just had a little bit more, it'll fix our marriage problems. No, it won't. That's not the problem. Because there can be satisfaction even when you don't have a dime to your name. You can have satisfaction. This guy says, are you saying money's wrong, Pastor? No. I've watched people that are bouncing checks that only got 2 cents in their savings account that are just as greedy and more greedy than somebody that might be a millionaire. I've seen it. It's not about the amount of the money. It's about the heart of the money. See, it's amazing. Isn't it amazing how we give all our money to God? Oh, it's all yours, God, when we don't have nothing?
Oh, Lord, I need help. Bail me out. Everything belongs to you, Lord. Have you ever seen that? And then we get a little bit of money, and we steward the money. But see, sometimes what happens to good believers who have been sitting in church a long time, like you and me, is we steward the money, and then we start seeing it grow. But then all of a sudden, our stewardship turns into worship. And we don't think it, but it can happen. That's why Jesus said, watch out for all kinds of greed, because you don't see it when it's coming. You're stewarding it, and now it becomes my money, and this is my money, and I gave this money, and why don't you do this, and how come I don't get this, God? It's my money. You can do it with your body. This is my body. I took care of it. I've been eating kale all day long. Let me tell you, and I've been working out, Pastor. Look at my body. It's all good. And you now worship your body instead of just learning how to steward your body as a gift for God. You worship your degree instead of it becoming something that's stewarded to let the glory come out of your degree and the skills that God's given you. And now you worship it and you expect everybody to bow down to you because you have position and power in the office. Or how many are tracking with what I'm saying? There's this fine line where stewardship flips into worship. And he's saying this will never satisfy you. I see people try to do with money. Trying to satisfy people with money is like trying to satisfy a thirsty person with glasses and gallons of salt water. It just doesn't work. So if you're thinking that's going to fix it, it's not it, because it won't satisfy. There's only one author of satisfaction. How many know sin doesn't satisfy? Okay, that's a weak amen from a bunch of believers. I need a little more conviction in the room than that. Do you know what I mean? How many know sin doesn't satisfy? I know, listen, the spirit of stupid hits all of us. And we think that we're missing out on something. But I'm telling you, I have discovered every act of willful sin that I have done, I have regretted every single last one of them. Every last one of them I have regretted. Moses knew it. Moses was a guy. Here he was. He was in Pharaoh's house. I mean, talk about position, power, money, wealth, good-looking guy. And even when God started taking him and leading him out, look what Hebrews 11:25 says. It says, he chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasure of sin. It doesn't say that there's not pleasure. It says it's fleeting. It's momentary. It doesn't last. It's intermittent. It never satisfies, but people make it the author of their satisfaction. It doesn't work. Even believers try to do that. I don't understand this. I've been raised in church, and sometimes it's people raised in church that are always the ones trying to walk the edge as close as they can and not technically call it sin. Selah. Called backsliders, walking away from God. Keep walking away, challenging the edge, taking it to the edge of the envelope. Here's what Proverbs 14:14 says. It says, the backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways. And you can never convince him. Always wanted to walk the edge. Not selling out to God. But he says, but a good man, and by inference a woman, a good man will be satisfied with his. When they follow after the Lord, when they go, they said, the author of my satisfaction is the Lord himself. I meet some people in church, you know, they, and I've done it myself. All of a sudden, growing up in faith, you go, well, you know what? I don't know about this Jesus thing if it's really what I'm cut out for. Can I help every high school student, especially you going to college? Can I help you out? Can you trust your pastor on one thing, just for a minute? I'm moving to this side of the building that's a little younger on this side. Everybody's gonna start moving this way. Watch that. Right? So. But I'm gonna be honest with you. When we're raised in church, there is this lie from the enemy that somehow you're gonna be free if you can just get out from underneath what your parents believed, what was in church, and they made you go every week. And I'm not telling that we don't make mistakes and there's imperfections. Please, give me that, okay? But somehow, if I can't wait to get away out from underneath them, and God does train you to get out from under your parents. That comes in life. But that somehow I can get under this for this oppression of all this religious mumbo-jumbo, and I can finally do my thing and get free. I am telling you, that is the biggest bag of lies from the enemy you will ever hear. When you get out on your own, follow Jesus and hunger and thirst after him every single day of your life. Just take my word for it. So I don't believe you. See me again when you're 36, and I'll tell you I was right. I'm telling you, it's right, because it's the word. It never pays off.
And somehow we get this backslider mentality. And so here was what I do. I meet people in church sometimes and go, well, you know, you talk about the benefits of the Lord. I don't really experience all these benefits, and I don't get these benefits, and I don't enjoy the benefits of the Lord. The benefits are there, everybody. You know, we hire folks here. It takes a lot of people to operate ministry here and make things happen. It takes a lot. And there's one thing, if you're an employer or you are looking for a job, let me tell you what people always ask for in the interview of a job. They always ask, what are the benefits? How many of you just work for free, or do you like the benefits? You like the benefits? What are the benefits? And here's what I've discovered, that if you want benefits of certain things, full-time employees get benefits part-time employees do not get. Is there maternity? What's the health insurance like here? What's the copay? Oh, the deductible's $25,000? Oh, wonderful, great. What a blessing, you know? We're better than that. What is it, you know? You want to know the blessings? But I want those benefits. Well, I'm sorry, but you're part-time. We only have a part-time position, so you cannot get this because you're part-time. Full-time people, they got to be here at a certain time. They got to be here more days. There's certain more requirements. But since you're part-time, you cannot experience the full-time benefits because you're part-time. And here's what I see in the spirit realm sometimes. We have a lot of believers wanting and demanding God full-time benefits, but they're acting like part-time Christians. And you cannot act like a part-time Christian. Listen. Are you listening to me? You cannot act like a part-time Christian in your dating relationship and then ask God for full-time benefits for God to lead you for the right person in your life. You can't act like a part-timer when it comes to your finances and your sex life and then say, oh, but I want full-time benefits of God over here. There are so many believers that want full-time benefits, but we're acting like part-time believers. Friends, I'm telling you, I've done full-time with Jesus. I've done part-time with Jesus. And when you do part-time with Jesus, you don't even enjoy part-time, and there's not even any benefits with that, because once you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you try to live part-time, half in the world and half for Jesus, here's what I've discovered. Take my word for it, okay? I've come long enough to tell you the truth about this. You don't even get to enjoy the sin while you're doing it. Am I right, everybody? Come on, those of you that played that part-time stuff, take all the church phony face off for a minute. Let's just be real for a moment. You all know that while you were out there sinning, you gave your life to Jesus, and you were sleeping around, and you were drinking around, and you were doing craziness, you couldn't even enjoy the stuff while you were doing it. You didn't enjoy it. Oh, God, why did I do that? I should have never done that. Yeah, you should. We shouldn't have done that. You don't enjoy it. Why do you do it? You don't enjoy it. I feel so guilty. Yes, it's called conviction. It's conviction. You're acting part-time when you're a full-time, sold-out for Jesus believer. Start walking like that in your attitude. Start walking as a full-time believer. Don't part-time that one person I can forgive and this person I can't forgive. Don't part-time a full-time of the Word of God. Full-time the things of God. You cannot expect the full-time benefits of God if you're going to play part-time Christian in areas of your life. Come on, friends. We don't enjoy part-time, so why don't we just go on white hot for Jesus, full throttle, full bore, pedal to the metal, serving God with all our heart. Give Him a hallelujah. Full-time, full throttle, all the way till Jesus comes. I'm going to go all the way. For you full-timers, I got good news for you. Isaiah 12:3, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is in your presence. Everybody say presence. That's the key, full-time presence. It's not that we leave the church, we're out of God's presence. When you turn off Hillsong and Passion and Mosaic, that all of a sudden the presence of God, now I got to go to my school. I take my AirPods out, so now I don't hear the Word of God. I'm not with my friends, I'm not church, and I'm with a bunch of heathens. So now, look, I'm stuck in this place where people don't love Jesus. Now God's not with me. No, He says you are in His presence every single moment. And in that presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. He satisfies with overflowing until it wears you out. Wow. Man, I'm telling you.
I love what God allows me to do. I love hanging out with y'all. You know that? Okay, I got to get back to my message. So, how many know he's the author of satisfaction? He gives you abundant satisfaction. Now, how many want that satisfaction? So, let's talk about acquiring that satisfaction. Let's go to Psalm 103, and let's go back to our text, verse 5. He says, who satisfies, know what does satisfy mean? Fill to the full, have plenty of, so much you're getting worn out by the blessing. Now, it says, who satisfies your desires with what kind of things? Good things. So that your youth is renewed like what? Eagles. Not one eagle in this place, eagles in this place. Not one eagle, eagles in this place, eagles. Eagles. Now, does that mean that if he satisfies, overflows, plenty of, does that mean that we never experience crisis, tragedy, pain, failure? Doesn't mean that. What it means is that when I'm going through the deepest, darkest, toughest stuff of my life, I can experience his satisfaction in the throes of that. That's what that means. In the middle of dialysis, in the middle of a transplant, in the middle of losing a job, in the middle of breaking up, in the middle of the deepest pain, he says, you can experience my overflowing, abundant, plenty of, get weary of satisfaction. Oh. King David is one of these kind of cats, okay? You want to talk about a guy that went through a lot of stuff? He's got to face Goliath. Okay, this guy, he could die. He had such confidence. And then after he kills Goliath, Saul hates him for what he does, throws spears at him. The person that's supposed to love you, take you under wings, throws spears at you, starts hating, rejecting you, and just starts hunting you down like you're the most wanted person in the whole nation. And he's going to kill you. This guy understood it. Listen, this guy understood dynamics of family dysfunction at the height you and I have never experienced. When his own son, if you will, wants to take his business, his own son starts a coup against his father to remove him from power in the nation. Now you think about this. When your own kid tries to take your company and rip you off, takes all your retirement. This guy has been through hell. And some of the dumbest decisions when he was going part-time when he should have been full-time on the battlefield, the Bible says. Part-timing will get you in big trouble. And this guy went through all those dark valleys, even the dark valleys of part-timing. Every bit of it. And here's what he has to say. That it can be experienced, satisfaction can be experienced at your lowest point. Psalm 23. Why don't we read it together? I put it in the New King James Version for all you folk that go way back. Verse 4, let's say it together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over, weary with comfort, weary with food, and I'm in the middle of the deepest battle of my life. Why? Because his presence and satisfaction is not opposed to times of sorrow, chemotherapy, loss of a job. His satisfaction is not opposed to losing someone to death. In fact, it can be experienced in the time of death because it's not opposed to it. But fear, listen to me, fear can never be experienced in the middle of those things. Fear, it will not work with fear. His satisfaction will not work with fear because it's opposed to fear. Because fear is hostile to God. Because fear is to Satan what faith and trust is into God. And he says, in your presence, in death, what did he say? I will fear no evil, because your satisfaction is that you are satisfied. You are opposed to the fear that Satan puts in my life over losing something to the pain of something. It is opposed to that, so I cannot fear. But I will tell you what I will experience in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that death, in the midst of the loss of job and my retirement totally dried up and I don't know what to do. God, here's what I discovered. In your presence, I will not fear evil because you're with me. Your word and your staff, they comfort me. And here's what you do in the middle of my presence of my enemies. When most warriors starve because they're fighting too hard, I rest in your presence and I'm eating at your table and I get stronger and stronger and stronger and you anoint my head with oil, with power and grace. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not natural, but you start giving me an anointing of power and in it, there's so much left over. My cup runs over that I'm not just thinking about me, but I'm pouring out to other people that are hurting around me and I'm in the middle of my own pain. Why? Because I can experience the satisfaction of God in the middle of the deepest valley. Are you all grabbing a hold of this today? It can be experienced in that. How many of you want that? How many want to acquire that satisfaction? Then here's the key. He said, your presence, your presence, your presence, your presence is a big deal. Your presence. Not part-time, full-time. Your presence. You can be renewed like the eagles, he said. He said, listen, you give me good things and my youth is renewed like the eagles. How do I get renewed like the eagles? Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who what? Wait on the Lord. This is full time, not part timing, not Sunday timing. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And there was a song that was written after that and says, teach me, Lord, to wait in your presence. That's where I can experience satisfaction no matter what I'm going through. You might be going through a divorce today. You can experience it right in the middle of it. He says, you do it like eagles. So I thought, well, I got to check out these eagle thing here, God. You got to talk with you about eagles. So I started thinking, why'd you use this eagle? First of all, eagles did not evolve. Eagles were created by God. They didn't evolve. They were created by God. And when he created eagles, they have a 7-foot wingspan. 7 foot. They can carry 2 times their own weight when they fly. And what's so amazing about eagles, is so really cool about eagles, is that their eyes are as big as a human's eyes. About the same size as your eyes. But their eyesight is 4 times acute of your eyes. They can see further. They can see so many things you can't even see. And here's the reality about eagles. As they get older, their eyesight does not diminish or dim. It remains the same way they've always had it. And you know what else is new thinking about eagles was so cool? Is every year, eagles get new feathers. He said, you renew me like an eagle. You know what this means? The older he says you get, he satisfies you with eyes to see in the spirit what God has planned, even through the toughest stuff. You see what he said about you. And when you become like an eagle, guess what? You can carry twice the weight other people can't carry. The burdens that other people are collapsing under, their marriages just fold, they just quit, they give up, and they run. You're not running. You're not collapsing. Why? Because you're an eagle, and you're in his presence, and he's given you ability to carry a capacity that you couldn't carry on your own human strength or will. You can begin to see things like you've never seen things before, and you get new feathers. And I thought, oh, Lord, you renew me like the youth. Like I get new feathers? I thought, oh, Lord, what does that mean? Am I going to be 17 again? Oh, Pastor Sam, 17 again. I do not want to visit 17 again. Just tell me, don't put in the prayer request for me. I don't want to. I like exactly where I am. I love where I am. But you know what this means? That your walk with God ought to be more in love with Jesus than the first day you wept and you cried thanking him to save you. I don't live one day with regret serving Jesus Christ. I want my joy to be so on fire for God. Right now, I'm years old. When I turn 60, I want fire of so much love and passion for Jesus, what he's called me. I want to see what he sees for that, for what he wants us to do. When I turn 70, I want the fire of God in me. When I turn 80, I'm not going to be a stick in the mud. I'm going to tell this generation, you better figure out what God wants. You better hear God. And we're going to be behind you telling you, go do what it takes to go win people for Jesus Christ. Lay down your lives and get it done. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to tell them, if I'm 90, I'm going to be like 92 years old, like my mama, still praying, seeking God. Here she is in pain, can't hardly move, but praying in the presence of God, so full of the joy of God, telling people, everyone she sees about Jesus. I want that kind of renewed like an eagle every single day of my life. I want that in my life. But there's only one place you can get it, in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something else about eagles. You know what one of the major causes of deaths for eagles? You know what the major cause? The major cause of death for eagles is drowning. They drowned. It's because they love fish. But sometimes when they fish, when they go down, if they pick up a fish that's too large or heavy for them, because they refuse to let go of it, that fish will actually take them down into the water and they'll drown because they won't let go of something they need to release. And there are eagles sitting in this room. God intended you to be an eagle, sir. Ma'am, you were created to be an eagle, renewed. With sight and vision from God, living in the good things of God, not part-time, full-time. But then Satan comes along and we get ourselves caught into something that we will not let go of. We've been in church and I see people won't let go of things. And God says, I want you to let go of that. I want you to let go of that ex. I want you to let go of that abuse. I want you to let go of that thing that's held you. I want you to let go. Money's not the problem. You've gone into worship of it instead of stewardship of it. And that money that once blessed you is going to take you down if you keep worshiping it. He may be talking to you about your part-time life with Jesus Christ, and you say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what that preacher says. I don't care what he says. I'm going to do my thing. I'm enjoying my life. You go right ahead, motor scooter. It'll take you down. I'm telling you. I know it will, because it's taken a lot of us down. Take you down. He said, do you have to be so strong about it? Well, you can come apologize to me later, but it's taking you down. Let go of it. Be the eagle God intends you to be. And say, God, who I am is not predicated on what I cling to here. My looks, my money, my position, my power, or even this offense, this hurt, or this sin, but I let it go, God, that I can soar with you. They that wait upon the Lord are going to be renewed, folks.